I'd like to begin this morning by thanking Mike for sitting back and giving me this opportunity. Thank the elders for agreeing to allow me to speak this morning. I have a lesson today that has been on my heart for 8 or 9 months. And I think my wife is probably getting tired of hearing portions and parts of this lesson. She's been the listening ear, and I appreciate her for listening. Mike Sullivan asked a question a couple years ago, and it's one thing that's been on my mind. And he says, are we really the New Testament church? Wow. What a thought. You know, I began to think about that, and I thought, it's good for us to check ourselves and test ourselves and question ourselves as to our faith, to make sure that what we are doing is right in the sight of God. But I thought, yeah, we're the church. But this morning I want to think about the early church back in the first century. Do we live our lives the way that they lived their lives? Do we worship the way that they worshiped? Do they share themselves? Do we share ourselves the way that they shared themselves? Do we wear the same name? Do we give the way that they gave? Do they think? Do we think the way they thought? But this is what I want to talk about. I want to talk about connecting. Eight or nine months ago, I asked Steve Griffey a question. I said, where are those folks that used to sit over here? There was a family with 5 or 6 people in this family. I said, Steve, where are they? He says, Bill, they just didn't feel like they connected. Broke my heart. And this is what I want us to think about this morning, is connecting. Now, you can put some prefixes to this. Disconnect, or you can put some suffixes on this. That sounds pretty good from a guy from West Virginia, doesn't it? Let alone spelling the word right. I believe I spelled it right. But are we connecting the way that the early church connected? A baby has the desire to be held. A baby has the desire to be fed. A baby has the desire to be cuddled. A baby has a desire to have physical contact. But you know, if this doesn't happen with a baby, it will not develop properly. And sometimes it'll even die because of not getting this. And here's what that's called. I had never heard this before. Now, for you young people that can't read cursive writing, did you ever think that you would make that statement? Do you remember back in school how many times they even slapped our hands? Or you remember the paper that they had had the line, and then the, and you had to go above a line or below a line. You remember all that? Well, that doesn't happen anymore. Failure to thrive syndrome. But I want to make a spiritual application. Are we suffering from the failure to thrive syndrome? Now, there's other causes that can cause this. The ones that I read off just a moment ago are some. There's other ways that people can have this failure to thrive syndrome other than what I gave. But I want us to look spiritually. Are we suffering from the same thing today? Failure to thrive syndrome because we're not having a relationship with each other? We're not stimulating one another. We're not being fed properly. Are we suffering from that same syndrome spiritually? Point number one for you folks taking notes. We want personal relationships. We all want that. But you know, we're living in a world where it's getting very impersonal with no matter what we do. Getting gas. Do you remember when you'd pull up to the gas station? Now listen to this. You would crank the window down. I still have a truck that does that. I still drive a truck. But you remember cranking the window down and the attendant coming to you and saying how much, and you'd say, fill it up or give me $5 worth, and that would pretty much give you half a tank. Remember those days? And he'd wash your windows and he'd say, can I check your oil or can I check the air in your tire? You remember those days? How about making a deposit in the bank? You can do that without even leaving your house. Buying groceries. You can do it online. Pull up in front of the store. They've got selected parking places now. You pull up there and you don't even have to get out of the car. You just hit your button and the trunk opens up and they put the groceries in. And I imagine you probably just have to sign it and off you go. Mailing a letter. We do so many things electronically now. We don't really. I got a card this past week. And it's just so great to receive something in the mail. It's a personal touch. Nothing wrong with emails or texts, but this is really special. Saying, I'm praying for you. Thank you, John. John made this card. No, not Judy did. Buying clothes. A lot of folks buy clothes online. We don't even go to the store. We socialize, or some people socialize with Facebook and Twitter and chat rooms and all these other things. Do you remember the time also when you knew your neighbors? When, Bill, would you go over to Ruby's and get a stick of butter, borrow a stick of butter? Or a cup of sugar, you're making pies or something and you run a little low on sugar. You remember that? Or the neighbors might be sitting out on their porch. We don't have folks doing things like this anymore. But I want to tell you a story. This is a true story. Worcester, Massachusetts, October 26, 1993. You want to get online when you go home and look that up. This is a true story. An elderly woman died. It was determined she died of natural causes. She was there for 4 years. I can't imagine somebody living a life when nobody came to that house for 4 years to find the body in her kitchen. She lived in that neighborhood for 40 years. Her brother, which tells you her own physical family wasn't very close, thought she was in a nursing home. The neighbor had been mowing her yard thinking, you know, I don't want my yard to look bad, so I'll go over and mow the neighbor's yard. Somebody else was mowing her yard. The police came and they, with the post office, they shut the mail off. The city finally shut the water off. The pipes had broken the house and the water was coming out over the front steps. I want you to think about that. How could somebody be so withdrawn from the world? But now let's make a spiritual application. What about us in the Lord's church? Do we have brothers and sisters that have died that we need to go find? We do not need to go through life alone. The church is always going to be there. We've been told that in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Most of us want to be understood. We want to understand. We want to laugh with people. We want to cry with people. We want people to know our names. We want people to be happy when we come into their lives. Point number two. I want us to look right now at the early church. And what I'm going to do in this part of the lesson, I'm simply going to read some passages of Scripture. I'm not going to expound on these Scriptures, but I'm going to read them. And what I want you to be thinking is, how did they connect in each one of these passages of Scripture? That's what I want you to go through your mind. The first passage is the one that Abe read just a moment ago. In Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35, it says, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither were there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of the lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold." Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47. Remember, look for the connecting. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Other passages, for the sake of time, I'm not going to read them, but Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. Right now, I want you to think, do I connect? Do I connect with my brethren the way that I need to be connecting? And I'm going to give you several tests here this morning. It's going to be a soul-searching lesson for us. My heart breaks sometimes because I can't connect with a lot of these folks. I went through the directory. I counted 388 names in the directory. Okay, there's no way that I could connect with 388 people. So we all have to look at this and say, I need to do my part. I need to do my share in connecting. How do I fix it? How do I get to the point where I can connect and do what I need to do spiritually? How do I get to that point? Number one, we've done that this morning. We have assembled. We have come together, and right now we are connecting. Anytime we get with our brothers and sisters, we are connecting. I want to tell you a story about a preacher. There was an unfaithful member. He went to visit him to find out, you know, why he hadn't been attending. He went and he sat down with this man and he said, well, brother so-and-so, why haven't you been coming? He says, well, I feel that I can worship God here at my home just as well as I can coming together with the brethren. Well, that preacher very quietly and easily, as they sat around the fireplace and the fire going in the fireplace, he reached in there with one of the tools for the fireplace and he pulled out a coal. And he set it right there in front of the fire. And you know what happened? It went out. You know what's going to happen with us? If we don't assemble, if we don't come together where the brethren are and we don't connect, you know what's going to happen? Our fire is going to go out. I really miss the kids singing Light Your Fire. I really miss that song. That's one really encouraging song to me. I need to have my fire lit on a regular basis. And this is one way to do it. When we come together with the saints, with Bible study and worship, our fire should be lit and we should be encouraged because we have come together, we have connected, and we're building each other up. That should be what's happening today. We should assemble. How else do we fix it? We have fed. Remember back here with this failure to thrive syndrome, one of the causes was the children weren't being fed. We need to be fed. If we don't get fed, it's possibly we're not going to develop properly, and it's possibly that we could even spiritually die because we're not being fed. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, talks to the elders there. It talks about one of their responsibilities is feeding the flock, making sure that the brethren here get fed. Number three, we need to bring people into our lives that will make us better. Who do we hang with? Do we hang with people that are going to challenge us and build us up in the faith? This is what we need to do. One passage here, Proverbs 27, verse 17. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. You could help sharpen me. Number four, our worship. How can I fix it? By worshiping God. By hearing sermons that are going to help us develop. By hearing sermons that are going to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. I need all three of those things. I need to have my toes trampled on. I need to hear the gospel that's going to encourage me and going to make me to strive to be a better child of God and to connect with my brethren. That's what I need. I need to attend Bible study. I need to have our song service. And Alex, thank you very much. That was a job well done this morning. I just keep thinking that song. And I woke up. I've been doing this for I don't know how long now, since the Luke study. Waking up in the middle of the night and having these brainstorms. And bind us together was in my mind. I just couldn't get it out as I was thinking about this letter. Lesson, bind us together, Lord, with ropes that cannot be broken. Bind us together. And that's what we need. We need to be bound together. Our communion, remembering the cross. Our giving helps us to not be selfish, but to give so that others can be taken care of. praying for other people, and sometimes even getting prayed for ourselves. We need this time together to come to worship. Number five, we need to give encouragement. We need to smile. I try. I don't do very well sometimes, most of the time. I have been told that I'm one of the most sober-looking guys around, and maybe rightly so. But it's something I need to work on. We need to learn to smile. We need to be encouraging. We need to be able to give people a warm welcome when they walk through the door. We need to realize that we're giving an opportunity to be with a group of people that want to make a difference in this world. And here's some passages of scriptures. I'm not going to read these or go through these, but Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 talks about us exhorting one another. Hebrews 10, 24, provoking unto love, to good works. Romans 14, verse 19, edifying another. And then number six, participation. And now here gets into the hard part of the lesson. How do I participate as a child of God so that I am connecting the way that I need to connect? Some people have asked me, Bill, how do you do what you do? I want to give you 10 suggestions that are mine. This is what I try to do. It's not a scriptural thing where you have to do these 10 points. I'm simply, these are for me. That helps me to stay motivated and helps me to stay where I'm trying to satisfy my God. Number one, I connect with a child of God every day. I didn't say I was trying. I said, I connect with a child of God every day. I want to do this like the early Christians did. They did it daily. I want to connect every day with a child of God, somewhere, somehow. I was in Maryland last fall, and I got a text from Jason Coles. Put your head down, Jason. Hide. I had never received a text from Jason Coles. But he sent me a text saying, Bill, you're missed. I'm still talking about it. I'm still thinking about it. How encouraging was that? But I try to contact a brother or sister every day. Number two, I've taken my blinders off. You older folks understand what that is. Or you have a horse out in the field and you're wanting it to keep straight, it's got blinders on. But I, as a child of God, I've taken the blinders off because I want to see the whole group. I've taken it off and I've tried to realize, who is it that needs my help? Sometimes when you contact people every day, sometimes they're going to respond back and you need to be ready. I want you to listen to this. How are you doing spiritually? That's what I ask. Here's the response I got. Now, I don't want to see a show of hands, but how many Christians can relate to what this person told me? He says, I've been really struggling in all aspects of my life. Changes need to be made. I'm not just getting any traction. It's frustrating and discouraging. This is one thing that needs to happen. My brother needs to connect. Now what do? I stop at this time and I stop with the texting. It's time to meet one-on-one. We're going to meet tomorrow evening. Number three,
I watch other people. Are you on my list? I can't watch 380, but there's 20 or 25 people I watch on a regular basis. And if you have received a text from me on a regular basis, you're one of those. We need, brethren, to connect with our brethren. We need to open our eyes. We need to look. We need to see. And Alex Smith right here is a good illustration. I've already talked to Alan. Alex, he's not going to be embarrassed. Probably is. But a few months ago, do you remember him standing in this pulpit? And I don't remember if it was a Sunday night or a Wednesday evening invitation, where he told us that I haven't been attending the services of the church. And here's somebody that we think he is one of our strong members, he's our faithful member, but he admitted the fact that he hadn't been attending the services of the church, but there was somebody that connected with him and said, Alex, what's going on? Now, let's just stop and think for a moment. If that person hadn't taken the time to connect with Alex, where might Alex be today? He may not have been here to lead our singing this morning. Number four. I need, in order to be able to connect, I need to make sure that I am being fed. Whether it's coming to the Bible class here or coming to the worship here or my own study at home, I need to make sure that I'm being fed. If I'm not being fed, I'm probably going to die of starvation and fall away. Number five, I need to look at others and not be selfish. I need to look at others and I need to take care of other people's needs. Sometimes it's just not convenient, folks. But if I'm going to connect and I'm going to be the child of God I need to be, I need to put myself in the background. And I need to take care of my brothers and sisters in Christ. Number six, I need to build relationships. When we come through those doors, what we need to do is forget about our physical family. We're now with our spiritual family. We see our physical family on a regular basis. We need, when we come into this building, to look at those around us that we're not with all the time. And we need to connect and we need to build those relationships. Number seven. Let me back up number six. Number six. I can't pass this up. We need to build relationships. We've got some real special people in this congregation. I'm just going to ask you a question here and how many of these folks have you connected with? Kayla Christian. Anybody connected with Kayla Christian lately? Shannon Harris. Alex Bailey. Kylie Cadwallader. Did I say that right? That's pretty good. Mike Laughlin. Anybody connected with Mike lately? Well, let me rephrase that. Anybody want to connect with Mike? If you don't know Mike and you want to connect with Mike, all I'm going to say is be careful, okay? But even those of us that have been in the church for a while, we need people to connect with us. We need that connection also. Karen Lawson. Do you know who Karen Lawson is? You ever connect with Karen? Mike and Shirley Tessman. Have you connected with Mike and Shirley? Roy and Anita Watson. Phil and Sharon Hatters. Welcome back from Florida. They're back with us. John Wilcox, Laura Hunter, she will surprise you. Have you ever connected with Laura Hunter? She's one of the older members here. Can I tell them your age? No, I won't do that, Laura. She will surprise you. She's wonderful. Cyrus Roan. Have you heard the story about Cyrus? YouTube. He found out how to obey the gospel on YouTube, drove clear to Texas to be baptized into Christ. And if that doesn't send a chill down your spine, what a story. But we need to connect with Cyrus. He's been here. He came back to Indiana. He left Lafayette, Indiana, went to Texas to be baptized, and come back to Lafayette, and came and found the church, and he's here with us today. We need to connect with him. Steve Lickenstaff, fighting Kennedy's disease. Have we connected with Steve? Mary Craig. Have we connected with Mary Craig? Or how about Nellie Stewart? How about Bryce Henderson? We were all given an opportunity a few weeks ago. Nicole Ramsey sent out an everyone email asking us to send a card to Bryce. How many of us sent a card to Bryce? Can you imagine? Bryce isn't a member of the church, but he's been attending. Can you imagine what it would be like for Bryce to go to his mailbox and here's 75 cards in his mailbox? Can you imagine what that would do for Bryce? But here's the one that I really want to talk about. Do you realize that over the last 2 years that there have been 22 people baptized into Christ? And I may have missed one or two. 22 people have been baptized into Christ. And my question is this morning, have we connected with those 22 people? We saw what this was physically. Failure to thrive syndrome. If they're not fed and not cared for, what happens spiritually? What's going to happen to these 22 people if you and I don't wrap our arms around them and build a relationship with them and see that they're fed and that they become strong children of God? What's going to happen? Number 7. Do it. It's time for me to put away the good intentions. It's time to put those away. When I see somebody needs to have some good done, I need to stop what I'm doing and I need to do it. I'm trying to remodel my wife's kitchen. Keita, hopefully before I die, it will be done. But you know, there's a lot of interruptions. And it's just like when I had this opportunity to speak, I says, Keita, I've got to put this on hold for a few more days. She says, okay. I realize what the priorities are in your life. Do it. Number 8, pray about it. I want you to know, you 20 or 25 people that I have on my list that I call and I text on a regular basis, it's not just calling and texting, it's also prayer. I pray for you on a regular basis. Now, number 9. I realize I have the responsibility to connect. It starts with me. If my elders don't connect, I need to connect. If the deacons here aren't connecting, I need to connect. If the preacher isn't connecting, I need to connect. If the Bible class teachers aren't connecting, I need to connect.
If the other Christians here aren't connecting like they should be, I still need to connect. Bottom line is, that responsibility starts right here at home with me. I need to connect. And folks, there's so many ways. So many ways that we can do this. Number 10. Being thankful. There's one of the songs we sang about that this morning. About being thankful. Fred talked about it in his prayer, about being thankful for the opportunities and the talents we've been given. We need to be thankful that God has given us the opportunity to connect. What's this going to do, folks? Us connecting, what's it going to do? It's going to make every one of us stronger. It's going to encourage us. It's going to build us up. And you know what? Other people are going to want to come and become part of us when they see us connecting with each other. You look at the early church. The church grew daily. Why was that? Because they were connecting is one thing that they were doing. Now, I want to challenge you this morning. I want to give you something to think about. From today on, what are you going to do with this lesson? What are you going to do with this lesson? Is it going to stick in your heart for maybe 2-3 days? Maybe a week? Maybe a month? I hope it becomes a lifestyle. But here's what I want you to do. This is your homework assignment, and this is an assignment that's going to be collected next Sunday. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to pay attention to radio, TV, YouTube, any documentation you have. I want you to look for the word connect. Okay? You're going to be surprised how much that word is used. And when that word pops up on the TV screen or on the radio, I want you to think, am I connecting spiritually? That's going to be your test. So it's going to pop up and you're not going to know where it is. Fox 59 News on TV the other night talked about being connected. Pizza Hut. I put my card in the thing to pay for my pizza. You know what it said on the screen? Connecting. You'll be surprised at how many times this word pops up in your life. The word connect, or with the prefix or suffix added to it, you'll be surprised. But that's the test. Whenever you hear that word, I want you to think, am I connecting with my brethren the way that I need to connect? Some of the thoughts and ideas I've got from a track. I was sitting there in Maryland one day and I was going through their track rack and I started reading tracks. And this is the one I found. On connecting. On connecting. I want to give credit to Alan Webster. Some of the thoughts and ideas that I had this morning are not mine, but they came from that track that I read. We need to learn to be the disciples that God wants us to be. But part of that is connecting. I don't know that I've ever heard a lesson on really connecting. But I need to be the disciple. And by the way, that's another lesson I've got prepared for someday. Are you a disciple? And it scares me. Am I the disciple that I need to be? Folks, you've been an excellent audience this morning. That's all I have to say. What do I do with this lesson if I found out that I got beat up? And I'm going to tell you, every time that I preach this lesson to myself, I continue to get beat up because I strive to do more all the time. But as that text that I read just a moment ago, that gentleman said,
I need to make some changes. And it's that simple. We need to make changes in our life. But there may be somebody here this morning that wants help in making that change. We're going to sing that song of encouragement on your behalf. If you want to come and ask for encouragement to do that, you need help doing that. But maybe you can just make those changes on your own. But there may be somebody here this morning that wants to go down into the waters of baptism and have all of the sins of their life washed away, as we read about in Acts 22 and verse 16. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son? Are you ready to repent? You really ready to change? You want to make that great confession before men and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I want to be a New Testament Christian. If you're subject to the call this morning, won't you come as we stand and sing?
Come to Jesus.